to the political cesspool known worldwide as the South's foremost populist radio program. And here to guide you through the murky waters of the political cesspool is your host, James Edwards.
Welcome back to the third and final hour of tonight's raucous live installment of the award-winning political cesspool radio program. I'm your host, James Edwards. We're playing musical chairs with the co-hosting seat tonight. It went from Keith Alexander to Bill Rowland. Now, Eddie the Bombardier Miller, if we could just have Winston Smith call in tonight, we would have all three of the co-hosts on in the same program, but that is not how Divine Providence would have it. But we're glad to have Eddie tonight. Winston is traveling. Eddie, I heard you enjoyed the last segment.
I tell you what, that was one of the best segments I have ever heard. My wife was just rolling to the floor laughing. I mean, she was literally about to bust the gut. She was talking about, she said, man, Bill was on a rant, son. And that's why, you know, I hope Bill's still listening, because that's why I text messaged you and I said, I wish Bill, which side of the issue is Bill on? Is he with us or is he the other side? I really can't tell.
Yeah, Bill, I tell you, Bill was animated during the first half hour, especially as we were covering that top story on our website tonight. And then, of course, Billy the Heretic, you can't go wrong when you got a comedian on.
No,
but it
sir.
Has just been a real lively show this evening. And, of course, Ed, over the course of the next hour, our final hour for tonight, we've got a lot to cover as well as we come to you live from AM 1380 WLRM Radio in Memphis, going out to our affiliate stations via the Liberty News Radio Network, AM-FM affiliates, satellite, Internet, man, we are everywhere. So whether you're listening to us on the computer or in your car this evening as you drive through town, we're happy you're with us. And if you're with us from Memphis tonight, man, there's big news coming out of Memphis. But before we get to that and into the rest of the program, I would like to make mention of the fact that Alan Stang has passed away. Alan Stang was one of the few conservatives worth his weight, and to say he was worth his weight would be a great understatement. Alan Stang was certainly a warrior, a hero, a patriot. He was a gentleman who stood the test of time for over 80 years. He shares many of the same scars that we bear. He is a man who is a colleague of ours. He has been a guest on this program in addition to hosting his own radio show. Alan Stang passed away earlier this week, and he was a friend of this radio program, so we would like to offer our condolences to the Stang family and to all of his fans. He will be missed, and our ranks are a little lighter in light of his recent death. So God bless you, Alan Stang. And, of course, Alan Stang, just like us, Eddie, can testify to the difficulties of living in the spotlight, the relentless attacks that you have to endure for telling the truth, attacks that we have been subjected to day in and day out for the last 5 years, whether it's attacks from newspapers or television outlets or other radio shows. We have gotten them. And all we do is tell the truth. You know, we have become a show that has become quite a phenomenon. I dare say that this program is probably the most talked about paleo-conservative radio show in the country in terms of the amount of press and media attention we receive. And when I say paleoconservative, obviously I'm not counting Rush Limbaugh and Sean Hannity in that group. Naturally, they have bigger audiences than we do, but they are not paleoconservatives. They are not the real conservative brand that we are. And it's just it's a cross we bear, Ed, but it's something we do with a smile on our face and a lot of love in our heart.
And it's true. And hey, don't forget the fun. Don't we have fun now? And you know, getting back around to Alan Stang, I used to listen to him years ago. He came on RBN, and he was on there sometimes right before, right after Jack McLam. He was one heck of a fella. He's very, very intellectual, and you know, just, he was a superb speaker. But you know, he told it like it was. He was just real articulate. I loved listening to the guy.
He was a guy like Sam Francis. I mean, you know, he was on Mike Wallace's show on CBS, Alan Stang was. Sam Francis obviously worked for the Washington Post. I mean, these are guys that had something to lose, and they did lose.
Oh, yeah.
Fighting for a cause that they believed in. And, of course, you know, before we moved on to greener pastures here at LNR, we were on RBN with Alan Stang, and that's how we became acquainted with him back over the course of the last couple of years. But
it's always sad to see
one of the good guys move on to their eternal reward. And unfortunately, it's good for them and bad for us. But we did want to make mention of the fact tonight that Alan Stang had passed. Now, Ed,
I'm looking forward to the night like you wouldn't believe. We're going to have a ball. Matter of fact, I thought about just junking the research I did and just honing in on this this controversy coming out of Memphis you talked about, Jay.
Well, there's a couple of things we want to talk about. Yeah, this is something, Ed. You know, it's petty and small of me. Yes, I'll admit it. I mean, we're a radio show that fields an audience. You know, we've got fan mail in from South Africa this week. It's an email that I shared with y'all. We've got listeners in South Africa who always tune in. We got an email just today, Ed, not a couple of hours before we went on air, that came from an officer of the British National Party. Now, if you want to look for somewhere to see encouragement, look to the nationalist parties of Europe, who are making great gains and very fast ascensions in politics over there. Nick Griffin, a man who has been on this show, has been elected, of course, recently to a seat in the European Parliament, which is much like being elected a United States Senator here in America. Anyway, an officer of that party emailed me earlier today to say what a big fan of the show he is. And so we get this kind of stuff from all over the world. Of course, we get death threats, and we really get it from all over the place. People, there's so many emails from people saying we're right on target. We are encouraging them. We're building them up so that they can go out and do good work on behalf of our cause. And we get emails like that every day. But, of course, we get death threats as well. We get emails from people who call us all sorts of names. We get it from both the right and the left, too, Ed, if you can believe it. I mean, obviously, we get called all sorts of things that we're not, you know, racists and anti-Semites and white supremacists, neo-Nazis, so on and so forth, that you would expect from the left. We even get it from the other side, too. I mean, there are people that say we aren't hardcore enough, that we're Jewish agents and we're this, that, and the other. And so you just can't please everybody. You got to stick to the formula. Thankfully, our formula has been successful. And I'm getting off the path here. But what I'm saying is, a lot of the things that we talk about on this show, a lot of the things that we blog about on our website are things of national importance, if not global importance, because we do have an audience that is from coast to coast and around the world. But tonight, coming back full circle, tonight in the next segment, we have to talk about an issue here. It's a big sex scandal. And sex is always salacious, and it's always salacious when you see a guy paying the price for it. That just happens to be a personal adversary of yours, a man who has done you wrong and has campaigned against you. I don't know, Ed. There's no more deeply moving religious experience than to see a self-righteous hypocrite go down in flames. And that is what we're witnessing right now in Memphis, Tennessee, with State Senator Paul Stanley. Paul Stanley, the good neoconservative Republican, the good Christian family values conservative. He is, he's embroiled in a sex scandal that happened with an intern half his age. And we're going to be talking about that during the next segment. We have been building up for this all night. Like I said, it wouldn't even be that big of a story. We wouldn't even talk about it if Paul Stanley hadn't campaigned so fiercely against me and this show and used his office to campaign against this show. So we're going to be talking about him. Again, it's petty, I guess, but everybody else is talking about it. I mean, it's top news every day here in Memphis, so why can't it be top news on a show that originates from Memphis, that being the Political Cesspool? Anyway, we'll get to the facts right after this. And a little later on, we're going to go back to Clint Lacey, an alderman from Marble Hill, Missouri. We're going to talk about that big issue going on up in Massachusetts with the so-called professor up there screaming racism because the cops had to arrest him for screaming racism. And at the last part of the show, Eddie has done some research that I think we should talk about as well. Computer chips in Tennessee, they're going to be putting our license plates so they can track people like Eddie Miller. And Eddie, they don't want to know where you go at night, buddy.
No, they don't. Hey, one more. I'd just like to address the people that say we're not hardcore enough. I'd just like to remind them, you know, we can only go so far without getting kicked off the radio. I mean, we're as hardcore as they come. I guarantee you, there's nobody any more hardcore than us. And we've taken the heat. We've gotten the trenches. You know, we've taken our blows, taken our knocks. And I don't think anybody can do any more. I mean,
Ed, I would agree with you. I hate to pat myself on the back on the air and stuff, but yeah, I mean, you know, I think we've done a lot of good. But the thing that a lot of folks have to remember too is that it's easy for armchair quarterbacks to say what they would do if they were in a position of influence. It's much harder when you're in the actual hot seat. And so we can all say what we would do if we were this, that, and the other. But until you've walked through that fire, you can't really say because you don't know.
And you catch all the flack, and it costs a lot of money to stay on the air. And like we told them 100 times before, we're all volunteers. And you can only, like I say, once again, you can only go so far, especially if you're hardcore conservative.
Well, and we don't have any. You know, there are no pretensions here on the cesspool. I wouldn't say that we do anything off the air that we wouldn't do on the air. Who we are on the air is who we are in our daily lives. I mean, we don't play a character here. We're sincere. We fight. And I've seen Eddie kicked out of several meetings. And so, you know, don't tell me that this isn't a show that fights. Man, we'll get to that. We'll be back right after this.
Don't go away. There's more Political Cesspool coming your way right after these messages.
When the truth is found to be. Welcome back. To get on the Political Cesspool, call us on James's Dime, toll free, at 1-866-986-6397. And here's the host of the Political Cesspool, James Edwards.
All right, no more buildup. What's going on in Memphis that has us so excited? Like I said, to you out there, it might not be such a big issue. It's just another perverted politician being a pervert with an underage girl. Not an underage girl, a girl half his age, I should say. But to me, it's an affirmation. It's poetic justice. And here's what's going on. Paul Stanley, and I'm not talking about the guy from Kiss. This Paul Stanley is a Memphis area, quote unquote, Christian family values politician. He's just been exposed, and this is the top news story. I'm talking morning, noon, and night on all the affiliate stations, the newspapers. It's everywhere. Just been exposed 3 or 4 days ago for having an affair with an intern less than half his age. Paul Stanley is a 47-year-old Republican married with kids, naturally. And he would have gotten away with it, too, if he hadn't have been such a pervert. It only came to light after the girl's boyfriend found explicit nude photos of her that Stanley took in his own taxpayer-funded apartment in Nashville. Another conservative Christian class act in and of itself. But I say this, Ed, at least he likes girls, which puts him a step above Republicans like Lindsey Graham. But I digress.
And Trey Hargett.
I usually don't talk about Memphis area politics on here because we have such a wide audience and a diverse audience, if I may use that word. But this was too good to pass up. Part of it because Paul Stanley did me dirty way back in the day, back in 02. There I was, just a 22-year-old, wet behind the ears, idealistic, young, independent candidate running for state representative. My sleazy opponent, instead of fighting fair and square, Eddie, you remember this all too well because you worked on this campaign with me.
Yes, I did.
This is actually how we met. That was back in 2002. I was running, and Trey Hargett was caught red-handed going door-to-door taking my campaign brochures and yard signs off of the people's property, got caught by the news. It was a big story. Well, Paul Stanley, the good Christian who, when he's not standing up for family values by calling me a racist and praising people for stealing my yard signs, is taking nude pictures of 22-year-old girls. And by the way, that guy who was stealing my stuff is now the Secretary of State. But that's how it works, Ed.
You know what, James? I would have given a month's pay. No, I would have given a quarter's pay. If I could have been with you when Trey the Lionhearted got caught stealing those yard signs, I tell you what, he would have never stole another yard sign as long as he lived. I guarantee you, he might have had to vomit some of it up, eaten so much of it, but he would have never, ever, as long as he lived, stolen another one of your yard signs or brochures, my son. I can guarantee you. But, you know,
we stick up for one another in the cesspool. Solidarity, Eddie. That's what it's all about. But I got to get to the really rich part about all of this. And then we'll move on because I guess, again, if it wasn't for the personal connection, this wouldn't be a big story.
Hey, let me just chime in one more time.
In real quick, and then I'll get to the punchline of all this.
About Trey, the fellow that worked against James, he's talking about this guy named Trey Hargett. What a coward. I mean, the guy is half my age, and James can vouch for this. I've confronted the fella at least twice. I got within his face, within 4 inches of his face, and you know, it challenged him every kind of a duke out you can imagine, and he's just a coward. He just smiles, and, you know, and just tries to back down. He's real effeminate, but he likes to sneak around and hit people behind the back, like, you know, stealing James's signs. And he's made other really bad comments about James in his past life too. I won't bring that up. But the guy is just a total scumbag. And how he can get into a political office like Secretary of State it's not a mystery to me, because the political system is just so corrupt. And I'll shut up now, James. Let you roll, because I can't wait to tear into this Stanley dude.
Well, here's the thing. Here's the thing that I love so much about this. Now, this girl that he was sleeping with is a student at Austin Peay University here in Tennessee. She's 22 years old, an intern up there. And he did admit under investigation that he had slept with her and took these salacious photos in his pad up there in Nashville while his wife and two young kids were back at home in Memphis going to church. But he came out in the press, released a statement, because he won't talk to the press. But Paul Stanley released a statement, and this is blogged. You can go get the reference on our website at thepoliticalcesspool.org. He's the victim in all this. He is the victim. This whole thing, he's the victim, not justice, not morality, not the girl, not anyone else. Paul Stanley's the victim here. And I said, you know what? Absolutely.
Eddie, he was raped.
We know how painful it is to sleep with 20-year-old girls. I can relate to Paul Stanley is the – it's horrendous. It's torture. Paul Stanley's the victim. Remember that, everybody. That's what he's saying. That's his story. That's the story, and he's sticking to it. Well, he's still in office, though. Now, how do you think it'll play out, Ed? Now, this is something that we always see. A situation like this comes out. They do things like this, or worse, much worse, in fact. I mean, this is actually nothing compared to the traitors out there who are surrendering our sovereignty and entering us into anti-American trade agreements and foreign policy scenarios, and obviously the people who vote for amnesty. I mean, that's far worse than a guy just cheating around on his wife like they all do up there anyway.
You're right, but, James. At least he's not – at least the guy's not like Sodom of the Potomac in Washington, D.C., where probably a third – of our,
Barney Frank runs like a homosexual brothel out of his place, and that that's nothing. But here's the thing, it's still bad, and I hope Paul pays a price for it. I wish they would all pay a price, but wish in one hand and you know what in the other.
He's got the money and he's got the voting machines. You know, they control the voting machines. We talked about that before. He's got the money behind him, and the big Republican machinery, the Democratic machinery, if that matters. There was no way on earth they would ever let any of us on the ticket, and you fought fair and square. And really, for the little bit of money you had when you ran that race, you were smoking. You really was. I mean,
well, we did good. We got a pretty good percentage, and that campaign gave birth to this radio program in the long run. But here's the thing about Stanley. What do you think, Ed? Do you think his Christian conservative Republican voting base in Germantown will reelect him? I say they will.
Yeah.
I say they will, because that's
yes,
how
will.
Stupid, and that's how forgetful and absent-minded that the voting public is. I say when he runs for re-election, this won't even be brought up.
You know, also, I told one of my good friends one day, as you know, James, you were at my baptism back in Memorial, around Memorial Day weekend, but I've told my good friend, I don't really trust any evangelist that's a congregation of probably more than 400 or 500. You get to something like Bellevue Baptist here in Memphis, Tennessee. It looks, for God's sakes, it looks, you could fly a helicopter inside of it. Probably 50% of the people who go to that church are just like Stanley. And, all you got to do, all he's got to do, James, is get up there and pull a Jimmy Swaggart and cry and say, you for forgiveness.
Well, I could write it for him, man. Ed, you're 100% on target. Yeah, I could write Paul Stanley's next statement, the governor in South Carolina did. That was going down there to where Venezuela or somewhere down in South America sleeping with some girl. You know, he's going to rely on his faith in the Lord to get him through this. And that's something Stanley's going to say. And they're going to eat it up, because that's how stupid the voting public is.
All he's got to do is go up there and cry. He's get up there for the microphones and hopefully on the TV camera and cry and just moan and groan and confess, make a big confession right there. And just, like you say, say he was the victim. You know, the devil did it to him. And they'll eat it up. They'll eat it up. I'm guaranteeing you. We've seen it before. And the truth, don't confuse him with the truth and the facts. But you're absolutely right, James, about that. He'll get reelected probably by a landslide.
Yeah, he might be the next governor.
He just may be.
He's setting himself up. Anyway.
You can't tell the truth, because if you tell the truth, you're taken as a sucker, as a weakling.
What was so interesting, though, about this girl he was with, and I'll let this be the final word, she had a mestizo boyfriend with a bunch of jailhouse tats. Her husband is in jail in Florida. So not only was she married with a boyfriend, here she was with the married Christian state senator. And go to Paul Stanley's website, everybody. evangelical Christian, emblazoned, across his screen. You know, honor, reliability, valor, Paul Stanley.
Well, man, is that typical or not?
Yeah, you got it. Well, we'll get off our soapbox now and talk about something important maybe for the next half hour, but I had to do it. I had to do it. Thank you for tolerating it, everyone. We'll be back with something more right after this.
Don't go away. The Political Cesspool guys will be back right after these messages. Get on the show and express your opinion in the political cesspool. Call us toll-free at 1-866-986-6397. Big girls
don't cry. Got to use that for another shameless plug. If you want to see a great concert, you got to go do it quick while Frankie Valli is still alive. He's like 80 years old, but he still rocks out. And I'll be seeing him, God willing, in February. Once again, Eddie. Can't see Frankie enough, can you, buddy?
You sure can. Hey, you still got that poster I gave you about the Jersey Boys?
Oh, yeah, I got Jersey Boys, the life story based on the story of Frankie Valli and the Force. Absolutely. I got that. It's hanging up in the office.
Yeah, I just had to get that in there.
Of course. Eddie goes to New York and walks around Times Square wearing his political cesspool shirt and greets all of his New Yorker fans up there. We got a big fan base in Times Square,
Certainly did. Hey, left warm a David Duke shirt up there for Senate, too.
He sure did. And we got pictures of that. We blogged about that. By the way, go check out our blog and the website. Sign up for the email list as our intern, I don't know if it's an intern, what am I saying? Fill-in engineer is doing. She's going to do that right after the show, right? And we want you to do it, too. Go to thepoliticalcesspool.org. All of the news features are there. Keep in touch with your favorite radio show in between our live broadcast every Saturday night. Now, waiting patiently, our good friend, a man who truly sets a great example for all of us, Clint Lacey out of Marble Hill, Missouri. This is a man who ran for and won elected to office, and it's something that I'm very proud of. And he didn't only win elected office, Ed, he got in there and started doing good things and producing proactive measures for his constituents. As, again, a fine example being set by Clint Lacey. He's with us now to talk about what, Clint, the Harvard professor up there that got arrested, am I right?
Yes, sir. In the meantime, from my first call to now, I put together an article, and it's hot off the Bushwhacker blog presses, and I'd like to share it with you, if that's okay.
Fire away.
President Barack Obama has stirred up a hornet's nest of racial tension with his recent remarks regarding the Cambridge, Massachusetts Police Department. The No More Reparations blog summed up the situation in an article entitled, Don't Jigger That Door. In it, the editor writes, quote, everyone is familiar by now with the Professor Gates fiasco. The Harvard professor became belligerent with Cambridge Police Department and accused them of being a racist. Gates was trying to break into his own home, and the neighbors saw it and called the police. They didn't know that it was him, and his house was burglarized once before. Instead of thanking his neighbor and law enforcement for protecting his home, he went on a tirade accusing the police of being racist. If all of this isn't pathetic enough, Obama had to open his big mouth over the issue by saying Cambridge Police Department behaved, quote, stupidly. He then went on to say that it was him trying to jigger the door of the home in Chicago. If it was him trying to jigger the door of his home in Chicago, he would be shot. First of all, if I were him, I would not use the word in which the first three letters spelled, quote, unquote, jig. Second, what's with all of this I would be shot business? Not only has he been mouthing his crap, but his old lady has been, too. I heard one interview with her last week. She made a comment in which she stated something like, quote, Barack could be shot at the gas station because he's black, end quote. What the hell is it with this couple? I'll tell you what it is. They're racist, and they cannot stand white folk. They will go to any length to keep the tension up between whites and blacks, end quote. No More Reparations sums up the subject of President Barack Obama perfectly. Though I would like to add one more thing. President Obama's blatant black supremacism seems to go beyond mere ideology or politics. The man actually wants to see harm brought to white Americans. So do you think it's too harsh of a statement to make? You don't believe me? Then please allow me to share the following example. On June 20, or the Right Perspective website reports that on June 27, 2009, quote, Marty Marshall, his wife, his two children, and had just returned from watching fireworks at the Firestone Park with two friends. Suddenly, a roving gang of 50 black youths attacked them, chanting and shouting, quote, we rule now, this is our world, end quote, this is a black world now, end quote. The phrases used by the black gang as they beat on the white family are believed to be a reference to the U.S. presidential victory of Barack Obama. Akron police have independent eyewitnesses that confirmed that the attack was done by 30 to 50 black youth who attacked the white family without provocation and as they described. End quote. Now, right, why did President Barack Obama feel so compelled to weigh in on the Cambridge police Professor Gates issue, yet chose to say nothing about a gang of 30 to 50 black youth beating up an innocent white family in his name? In this case, Barack Obama's decision to say nothing is far more telling than his decision to comment on Professor Gates' altercation with the Cambridge police. Why? Because his decision to say nothing amounts to no less than a wink and a nod of approval to the gang of thugs that beat up Marty Marshall, his wife, and his young daughter. It was a nod of approval for black youth to conduct future attacks on innocent white victims, and it is a warning to white America to do as we are told.
Clint, I think that you summed it up perfectly. I think you hit the nail on the head. I mean, that's exactly what's going on. You have two sets of laws. More appropriately, what you have is a set of laws which, depending on who you are and where you stand in the eyes of political correctness, which is the new religion of America, the laws will either be applied or not applied to you. And certainly we have another classic double standard in play.
Well, it's not only this. He's sending this message via other means as well. A lot of the states that have passed 10th Amendment resolutions and states' rights gun resolutions and laws and issues, they are now being challenged by his administration.
Well, yeah, I mean, and we called this, you know, for the last year and a half before his election that it would be this way. I mean, people have got to go back to our broadcast archives. Not to sound like the modern-day Nostradamus or anything like that, but we were right about a lot of things with regard to what Obama would do if and when he was elected. And this is just, again, and then you had also in a great situation to compare and contrast two different scenarios, what happened up there at the private Philadelphia Swim Club compared to what happened there in Akron, which you were talking about. It's scary. And then, but this thing here, this race hustler, this Henry Louis Gates, this so-called professor, I mean, this is a guy who got his job because of affirmative action. He makes six figures screaming about racism for a living and lecturing to his class about how evil this suppressive white society is, this white society that allows him to make six figures professing about nothing. Now, he gets arrested, and I think if I'm not mistaken, they arrested him. Yeah, he was breaking into his own home, or it appeared as though he was breaking into his own home, but what the cops arrested him for was disorderly conduct, if I'm not wrong, disorderly conduct and loud and tumultuous behavior.
He raised so much hell.
No, he didn't produce any identification.
Protect his property, or I guess Harvard's property, whatever college that was.
Well, whatever the case, I mean, obviously the police had, if you read the report, and we've got this linked on our blog as well, they were well within their rights to arrest him. But, you know, the fact that this makes international news, that Barack Obama is commenting on it, really speaks loudly to me. I mean, this is a non-issue. This is basically you've heard of drunk and disorderly. This is a sober and disorderly guy who is so full of himself and so full of hatred for the American way of life that he still believes he lives in the Jim Crow era, where, you know, he's able to make $500,000 doing nothing and taking it out on these two white police officers who responded to a call that they were given.
Yeah. He is living in the Jim Crow era, only it's totally reversed.
Yeah, we've replaced. Like Jim the roles have been reversed, but now it's back, and perhaps just as bad, if not worse. And what's coming will be worse if we don't begin to engage our enemies in the court of public opinion, as you do, Clint, on your blog and from your seat on the Board of Aldermen there in your city. Give out your website one more time. I know we're about to go to break, Clint. I want to be sure people have a chance to read that for themselves and read more about you.
Yeah, if you want to visit ClintLacy.com, I've got several news feeds on the right, and one of them is to the Bushwhacker, Missouri Bushwhacker blog. It'll have the link to this article, and it also carries headlines to the political cesspool and Confederate news.
You can't do better than that. That's a trifecta. That's a trifecta. Hey, check it out, ClintLacy.com, everybody. And Clint, thanks for taking the time to call in and share your article with us. It's always great to hear from you.
Thanks for having me again.
Anytime. We'll have you again soon, I'm sure, and I hope. Eddie, you know, that thing up there in the media, man, the media is just fawning all over this guy about how we still have, you know, white supremacist cops. And this cop's actually, believe it or not, there's actually a white cop up there who's standing up for himself and his rights, and he's saying he's gonna sue back. You know, he's going to fight back, and he didn't acquiesce, and he didn't fall on the sword and present all of this evidence to prove that he's not what they say he is. Who cares what they say he is? And I admire this cop for standing up for himself and fighting back against this tyranny and this new Orwellian society that we live in. I mean, 1984 didn't go far enough. George Orwell couldn't even imagine what it's like in 2009 America. I mean, this is sick. It's grotesque. It's disgusting. And I hope that these cops have redemption. Eddie, we got to take a break. We're turning it back over to you right after this.
Don't go away. The Political Cesspool guys will be back right after these messages.
We'll return. We'll return. We'll return. We'll return.
Jump in the Political Cesspool with James and the gang. Call us tonight at 1-866-986-6397. And here's the host of the Political Cesspool, James Edwards.
All week, Eddie the Bombardier Miller and I have been talking about what we would talk about in this hour. And we've talked about absolutely everything, but we decided, everything except what we decided we would be talking about, which was a thing on computer chips that Eddie has been doing a lot of research on. But that's sometimes the way it works here in the cesspool, right, Ed?
You got that right. Now, you know what? That was such a good article that we just covered about the bogus professor up there dogging the cops. By the way, the police union is the entire union is backing him real well.
And that's a surprise, really. It is.
You know, and before we leave it, I'd like to mention this. Everybody needs a dose of the fellow Clint Lacy mentioned the 30 to 40 black thugs that jumped the white families. You know what, James? I've had that to happen to me. You know full well my background. That has happened to me so many times. Everybody, every white liberal needs just a small dose of that to happen to them. And we could turn this country around overnight.
Well, I think that's really interesting. And that was some interesting things that I saw in the election results. It was the fact that the states that are heavily black, which are, of course, the southern states, almost all of them voted for McCain. You would expect that with blacks voting 100% for Obama, that he would do well in the states that had the largest black populations. But the people who really voted for him, the people who really elected Barack Obama, were the white liberals who have really never had any interaction with minorities except for what they see them portrayed as in mainstream media. And that's why we have to work so hard to reshape our image and be able to tell the truth in love with a professional demeanor and create our own media, as we're trying to do here in the Political Cesspool, as some of our guests have tried to done, obviously Billy the Heretic tonight with cartoons. And we've highlighted some of the people who are luminaries within our media on this show over the course of the last few years. But, yeah, as it says in your biography on our website, Ed, you received your Ph.D. in race relations in South Memphis, and certainly that's the truth. And so did Antonio Burks, the former point guard for the University of Memphis, who was just shot up while he was keeping it real, shooting dice in South Memphis. But, Eddie, real quick, I want to go to this last caller, and I want to let you field his question or comment. Richie,
sure.
In New Orleans, Louisiana. Richie, you're on the line.
Hey, you, James.
How's it going?
Henry Skippy Gates. This is another example of the wonderful gift of diversity. You know, James, here's some uppity, ethnocentric, radical bigot with a chip on his shoulder who's just waiting for any excuse to become a victim. And I mean, African American studies, indeed. If I've ever heard of a made-up course, that's one for sure.
Yeah, it couldn't be too long of a book, imagine. But
and here are the these.
They major in that. You know, that's not just a course. They major in that.
Yes, they do.
This is what affirmative action gets you, and it got us this president and this infamous mayor of New Orleans down here, Ray Nagin, which is just an absolute joke.
Yeah, you would know. I tell you, you know, that's one thing New Orleans and Memphis certainly has in common.
Right down the river.
Is that we know all too well what the benefits of multiculturalism are. It's kind of like what I said in the email that I sent out today to the mailing list promoting tonight's program. I think it's great that we finally have an American president who will stand up for his own people. It's just too bad we could never elect one.
Yeah. You know, on another topic, you mentioned earlier, Nick Griffin of the BNP.
Right.
He's got this really great, it's a six-part series on YouTube. It's called The Truth, The Whole Truth, and Nothing But Lies. And it is really shocking to see what is actually going on in Great Britain right now. It is scary, actually. But there is hope in the strides that they are making over there with the BNP party.
You know, I told you earlier, Richie, that we had gotten that email from one of our listeners that's an official in that party. And I quickly set him straight as to who the real heroes were, and it's certainly them. They have accomplished so much. And I'll tell you, you can't say enough about Nick Griffin. You couldn't sing his praise loudly enough. This was a guy, had the opportunity to meet Nick. We were both speakers at a conference in 2005, and he sought me out of the crowd to let me know, even at that time, that he was a fan of this program. And there we both were in New Orleans. We were actually down in New Orleans, of all places. It was just a phenomenal experience for me at that time to know that people like Nick Griffin thought something of our work when I was such a fan of obviously the things he had done, which in my opinion are so much greater. And then this is a guy who, after being elected, I think this is almost unprecedented, after being elected, he still is standing true to his beliefs and is doing great work. The BNP and Nick Griffin, I think the brightest stars we have right now.
And series that I described on YouTube, The Truth, The Whole Truth, and Nothing But Lies, shows you this man is really in danger over there. They arrested him for speaking the truth about he codified several attacks by, they call them Asians over there. To us here in America, it's Pakistanis and Muslims, but they call them Asians in Great Britain, about how these relentless attacks are going on against white kids who are being brutally murdered, and the BBC and the Labour Party are in deliberate subterfuge to lie about all of these incidences, and they put this man in jail for a hate speech crime, and when he defeated it, they immediately appealed it. They didn't even wait for a day or two. It was immediately appealed. Fortunately, he was found innocent of it.
They said the truth was no excuse.
They actually said
yes.
The truth was no defense.
That's absolutely right, and that was an event also that we covered here with regular reports on this program, the updates of that case. Yes, the judge, when talking to the jury there in that trial, said that that's exactly what he said. The truth is no defense. Don't let the fact that Nick Griffin is telling the truth and what he's saying be a defense, because what he's saying, even though it is truthful, is allegedly racist or immoral or whatever. Yeah, the truth is no defense if you're politically incorrect. But thank God the people of Britain are beginning to see through this charade, and they're electing people who will stand up for Britain, put Britain first. That's what we need to be doing here. But if they can do it there, what one man can do, another can do. And it's not just Great Britain. It's going on all over Europe and Austria and many other places. They are making proactive strides. We have got to start doing it here in America. I tell you, man, America is really behind Europe when it comes to having political parties who will organize and produce results for the founding stock. I guess in some regards we're in better position because we don't have these draconian hate laws yet. Maybe in the next month it looks like they might pass here, but it's all something that'll come out in the wash. We'll continue to talk about it. Richie, thank you so much for calling in. Always a pleasure to hear from you.
Okay, my friend, we're listening.
Stay tuned. Always good to hear from another Southerner down in New Orleans, Duke Country,
right,
for sure. Eddie, we only got a couple of minutes tonight. Would you mind terribly? I guess you don't have much of a choice if we postpone the.
I was going to recommend that myself. As a matter of fact, I told my wife.
Well, I was looking forward to it. In fact, I had actually billed it at the top of the program, but sometimes, you know, it's just too much fun to be had in 3 hours. 3 hours can't contain us.
That's what. It's funny you mention that because I told my wife, and I think I might have mentioned it to you at the beginning of the show, said I was ready to just junk this and put it on the back burner because we had so many good things to talk about tonight.
Yeah, I know. We always do, but, you know, you'd put a lot of work into it. We talked about it. It had been planned for, like, 2 weeks?
It'll keep.
But there's always the next show.
That's right. But I tell you, Richie, that's a real good phone call. He pointed out some good things, what's going on in Britain, because, once again, you know, he talked about how the white kids are being brutally attacked and murdered. You know, I hate to say it. I won't say they need to be murdered, but we need a lot of those atrocities to happen nationwide in all these lily white states that voted for Obama. And they need to have a dose of that, James. That's the only way they're going to have the scales knocked off their eyes. You know, I had it done to me when I was 11, 12, 13 years old. I had, you know, grown blacks try to attack me. I've even had dogs turn loose on me. You know, my wife was threatened to be raped one time by about 30 black youths. And they just came out of the nowhere. But I didn't even know that she had a little .22 pistol. My dad had given her. I didn't know she had it. And I was trying to get her out of the situation. She asked me if I wanted a pistol. And this should show you how brave they are. I put that little, it was a little small .22 pistol, and cradle it in your hand, and it backed every one of them down, James. But I tell you what, everybody needs a dose of that. They really do. And I tell you what, if we could put it in a shot and give it to white people to immunize them against the lies that you know.
Well, I mean, you know, the school of hard knocks, Ed, as they say, sometimes the best lesson. I mean, it would be great if people could see.
All lesson is the best learned.
If the scales could fall from their eyes without them having to go through any sort of turmoil. But unfortunately, that's not really the way it takes it. And that's, I think, at the end, that's why we're becoming the new Rome. And if we continue to act like the Roman Empire, we will pay the price that Rome paid. And we are too enamored in the culture of bread and circus for our own good. And people need to be focusing on things that matter, and that is survival and replication and making this place a little bit better than what we've founded, and certainly that hasn't been the case here since, 1861. We've been going downhill ever since then, if not before then. But anyway, the bottom line is we do think all cultures should be able to celebrate and live in peace. We just want to be able to do the same. This show is, again, I say, you know, without any trepidation, it's a show that really truly advocates for equal rights for all and special privileges for none. And
equal rights for even white people.
Yeah, absolutely. Even for whites. We deserve equal rights, too. We got to go, but we'll be back next week, everyone. God bless you. Live life the way we do without retreat, surrender, or apology.
Thanks for joining us tonight in the Political Cesspool. To learn more about us or to make a donation to keep this program on the air, go to www.thepoliticalcesspool.org.